First of all of you here today, braving the elements and risking your life coming out. Because you can count on what you can do behind the wheel, but you really can't count on what somebody else is going to do out there. So that's the fear that I have. I know I'm good out there. So, I thank God for all of his many blessings. I want to first give honor to our pastor in his absence and our assistant pastor. I want to thank God for my wife and my family. I thank God for everybody in the building and those that could not make it. We thank God for them. Scripture reading while I'm talking, you can be getting it. It's going to come from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and just two verses, 14 and 15. And I'm going to try to read one Bible where I don't need glasses. If this conks out, then I have to go to the other Bible where I will need glasses. So we'll try to do the best we can. When you have it, we can all stand for the scripture reading. That's all right. And if you don't have a Bible, it should be nowhere. It's all good. Everybody have it? Say amen if you have it.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's read this together. Follow peace. With all, let's hold off a second. Let's make sure everybody got it. We want to be on one mind and 15 accords. One accord. All right. So when we all have it, with the outside voice, say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews, the 12th chapter. I apologize. I didn't give it to you, probably. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 14 and 15th verse, I apologize. Now, when you have it, with the outside voice.
Amen.
Alright, we're getting there. Alright, let's start. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness bring up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Amen.
May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. And the church said,
"Yes,
hallelujah." You may be seated. And as you're seated, I'm just going to have a word of prayer really quickly. Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, Lord God. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence, Lord God. Now, Lord God, give us an ear for what your spirit is trying to say to the church in this, the last and evil days. Now, Lord God, just help right now, Lord God. If you don't send help, all of our work is in vain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And we want to remember to lift up our pastor who is preaching at Bishop Hayes' church. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the first time he's preaching there. Is that right? So we want to lift him up in prayer. And, you know, I just want to talk about something today that, 90%, maybe it's more like 100% of the people are going to deal with at some point in your life. I just want to deal with what happens after the heartbreak. What happens with a broken heart? What happens after things happen in your life? Things go wrong in your life. I mean, maybe everybody in this place has never had any heartbreak or anything or disappointment or any setbacks or letdowns, but most of the people that I talk to have had something in their life that went wrong or didn't go the right way or whatever the case may be. And kind of reminds me of a story I once heard. Maybe some of you heard it, so just bear with me. But it was about a woman that got on the train with a baby, and she got her seat, and she sat there, and there was a guy sitting there staring at her in her face. You know, quite naturally, after a while, she asked, "Sir, what are you looking at?" And the guy stared at her, and he said, "Your baby." It's ugly. And she said, what, my baby is ugly? And he said, yeah, then he's ugly. So he just stared at her. And any mother, you tell that to her, you know, she might have been a sister, right? If I'm not mistaken, that was the wrong thing to say. Anyhow, the argument went back and forth, so much so that the conductor of the train came along and said, what is the problem here? Why is there such a big argument going on? Well, they tried to explain, but he couldn't get an answer. He said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a seat over here by yourself, and I'm going to also give you a seat far away from him, no problem. And what I'm going to do on top of that, because we're a class one railroad, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give each of you a free meal. Right at the dining car, you can go at separate times, and everybody can be happy. Well, the two of them quite naturally got relaxed, and they calmed down because they were both getting free meals, and everything was all good. And the conductor said, and ma'am, it's not a problem. I'll check with the cook. Perhaps he has a banana for your monkey. That's not at all. Sometimes we gotta be a little sharp here, right? The baby monkey, you didn't get it? The conductor thought the baby was a monkey, was that ugly? Leave it alone. Anyway, we thank God for just being here today. I just wanna thank God for all that he is doing. If you don't mind, you can hold Lamentations, the third chapter, the 15th verse, 15 to the 27th verse. But while I'm just gonna go over some things and a little bit of my testimony that I forgot to share is a few weeks ago I testified about the fact that 4 years ago I was diagnosed with all kinds of heart issues. My heart had stopped beating at full capacity, and because of blood pressure or whatever the reasons may have been. And I testified of how God had healed me of all of those things. And I knew I had a doctor's appointment coming, but I wasn't expecting to do all of those tests that I did all over again. The test that tells you how good your heart or how bad it is. So then, of course, you know, doubt came in a little bit, tried to come in, I should say. Said, hey, you just testified how everything's normal, and now you gotta go do all of these tests. So I tried to come in. I'm human, you know, tried to come in. Well, it's 4 years later. Maybe it's worse again. Maybe it's back to that. Maybe it's this, that, the other. But I got a testimony that the doctor called and said, if I call you, you know, I'll let you know. If you don't get a call, it's all good. But he called, so I'm saying, oh, maybe there's something, you know. I don't know, I'll deal with it if it is. Whatever God wants me to deal with, I'll deal with it. So when he called, I said, oh boy, here we go. And he said, I just wanted to let you know, I didn't know if I told you that I was going to call you or not. I didn't want it to be mixed up. But everything's good, you're all good, everything's normal, the same as it was 4 years ago. Hallelujah. So I thank God for that. I've been holding on to that for a few weeks because I thought I was going to speak last week. But anyhow, I just thank God because he is a healer. And I know him to be a healer. We have witnesses here that know him to be a healer. But I just want to just tell you a little bit about me before we get too far. I'm the only child of my mother and my father, I should say. My father had six children before me with his first wife. So we talk about these days, modern families, or blended, they call them, or whatever the case may be. My father had six children with his first wife that ended badly. And my mother had four children who she had with her first husband, who was her high school sweetheart. And so I'm the only kid, per se. So growing up, I knew something was different when my mother's 5 foot, I don't know, that's hard to picture, but she's like 5 foot. She was 5 foot, she's passed on now. But I knew something was weird when all of my mother's siblings, I looked around and I'm like 11 years old, and I almost got them beat in height. So I knew something, I'm like, well, this ain't right, something's wrong here. Am I adopted? I didn't know. You know, but they explained to me what the situation was, and you know, but on my father's side, there was no one really light-skinned. So it was kind of, this doesn't match up either. I might be tall like them, but there's no one over there that's got this complexion. I'm the only one. So I'm looking, I'm saying, this doesn't work too well. So anyway, my father married another woman. It gets complicated. Anyhow, growing up, my mom was getting, I was getting older, you know, 11 years old, I started to go a little, trying to play hooky and all that kind of thing, and my mother and my father decided I would go live with him. Well, he had this wife, and, you know, at first everything was good, and I thought everything was great, you know, no problem, she seemed to like me, and this was good. Well, true colors came out soon enough, and she was not such a nice person sometimes, and sometimes downright nasty to me as a child, you know, and I don't need a there on this. I'm just telling you that, and perhaps you can relate it. Someone here has had some kind of issue as well, and you've had other kinds of heartbreaks. We've all experienced some heartbreak. This is just one. Some have experienced heartbreak over and over again in different forms, and disappointment is normally the ones that are closest to you. And I remember we moved into a place and I was going to get my own room. And my father bragged, you got your own room and blah, blah, blah. This room was 4.5 by about 6. It was like a closet. But it was mine. I had my bed there, had my TV, and I won some kind of encyclopedia online. I think through a computer. Online didn't happen then. But I won this, and so I put up a shelf over my bed. I had the encyclopedia over my bed, and it was all good. Well, slowly but surely, the stepmother took all of those things from me. She started adding into my room her stuff, and it began to get high. It was an ongoing process, and she began to take over my little 6x4 or whatever it was. But she would say hurtful things to me sometimes, and she would say things like, you better hope and don't, you know, this is just, I'm just being real. I'm just being real. She would say, you better hope your father doesn't die, you better hope I die before your father, because if he dies first, I'm going to make your life a living, H-E, you know, the rest. And that's what she would say to me, repeatedly. And I remember she would do things like buy stuff that kids would love to have, soda and different things, plenty of it, and say, don't you touch it. And that would be it if I touched any. And I learned a trick with water with the soda. You get a little bit, you throw a little water in, and then she'd drink some, and she'd say, this doesn't taste like Pepsi. What is this? I'm like, well, it was all right, but I had it, you know? And, you know, it would begin to be a game to me, but she began to just make my life miserable. And he saw none of it. He just blind to it, you know, just passive. And anyway, there was one time that my father's sister passed away, and he had to go to Tennessee where she was living and take care of things. And I was there for a week, and I was showing my wife last night. I was in the 5th grade at this time, and she was supposed to pick me up from school for a week. She never picked me up. I had to walk. It was about 12 city blocks, which it was long, and I had to cross 2 highways. And I'm saying all of that to say, I did build up some resentment and bitterness toward her. And the scripture said, lest any bitterness or it spring up and trouble you. And the Bible says, many be defiled. What it's talking about is those situations that come in your life, they can make you bitter, and you won't want to love. You won't even know how to love people or how to do for people because you're so bitter at what has happened to you and the heartbreak and the pain. But I remember crying and walking because you had to walk through some really bad neighborhoods to get from my school to my house. And we had to cross Eastern Parkway and Atlantic Avenue. If anybody here from Brooklyn, they know what I'm talking about. These streets are big. I mean, it's not big as 787, but I had to cross these streets. And this was a challenge. I don't know how old you are in the 5th grade, but I know I was in the 5th grade. And she did this for a week, and you know, I did build up something. I wasn't saying, I didn't know how to deal with it. By the time I was 16, I couldn't even stay there anymore. She had made my room so much so that I had on my shelf that I put in, it became a closet with clothes on hangers. And I remember just sitting in the room and just having space. I had to move the clothes just to sit and watch television. I had no space in my own room. All I had was the bed, which was now broken and laying on boxes that she put under the bed. It was just, she was a hoarder and she kept everything, but everything ended up in my room. I built up resentment and hatred toward this woman. It wasn't right, but I'm telling you the truth. But later on in life, she developed Alzheimer's, which it was sad, and I felt so sorry for her. All of the hatred that I might have had, and I got saved, and I had to learn to forgive and move on and forget, and God had to come in and help with certain things. And I'm saying all of that to say that was my situation. You had some other situations in your life that could cause you to end up being bitter and resent. I don't know, did you get the photo? Okay, she didn't get this photo. I wanted to show you this photo of, I'm a welder by trade, and it's called a V-groove in welding. You can take it like a beam over here to make one beam, two beams into one. You have to put a V-groove on it. And in the V-groove, you would weld one pass. Well, that one pass, sometimes you get what is called slag, or and you can't fill it, so you have to dig it out with a grinder. You have to dig all of the mess out with a grinder if you're going to have a successful weld on the end, so that two beams can look like one without the eye detecting it. It has to be smooth. It can't have any corruption on that first pass. You can have, it's funny because you can have slag buildup in between, but on that first pass, if you do have that buildup, what happens is you weld over it, when you get to the end, it shows up out of nowhere. It's like, where did this come from? Well, it came from the beginning of the root weld, they call it. And I know that's foreign to some of you, but what I'm trying to say is that sometimes, like grass or weed in the street or on your sidewalk, you think you got rid of it and it's gone. Pluck it up, you do whatever it is. 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, you walk by, wow, there it is again. It just keeps popping up because you didn't deal with that root cause of it. Well, I'm here today because it's up to you and it's up to me. We have to expose ourselves so that God can deal with the root problem of it and come in and heal that broken heart. God is able to heal the broken heart. When we're disappointed and we're in dismay, God is able to take the crooked thing and make it straight. But we have to want it. We have to, many, I don't know if you remember the woman that had the issue of blood. Many thronged at him. Many had the situation. But it was her faith that when she touched him, many were touching him. But when she reached out and touched him, he said, something is different here. I perceive virtue has fallen out of my body, because she said within herself, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, if I can just get to him, if I can just touch him, he will make me whole. I know this. Now others came touching and feeling after him and reaching out and wronging him, but nobody was reaching out with the faith that she had. So what I'm saying today is, with your problem, with your situation, we can sit here and look pretty if we want to, or you can expose yourself to God, no one else, and say, Lord, here I am. Take that thing that might have been as long as 12 years ago. Fix it. Go inside. Go to the root cause of it. Fix it. Clean it. Dig it out. Whatever you got to do, just help me, Lord. Make me whole again. Sometimes we do the best job we can. We show up and we smile at one another and we say, praise the Lord, and this, that. But we got things going on. They're not new things. The things that are going on is because of what happened way back when. Hallelujah. I wish somebody here understood what I was saying. I wish somebody here understood what I was saying. see here, this man, Jeremiah, this poor fellow, just to give you a little background, this man, all he dealt with all the time was just telling all of these people how wrong they were. You know, I tell you, I did some coaching in the past, and, you know, the good coaches, you know, the team can be doing so good, and then they interview the coach and said, yeah, we did good, but, you know, we could have did this, we could have did that. You know, that's a good coach. Believe it or not, you and me will look and say, he's just critical. He's just criticizing. It's not criticizing when you're telling the truth, when you're trying to get better. You know, just to criticize and just trying to hurt somebody, that's different. But when you criticize it, if you say, hey, listen, this, that, you really shouldn't eat this, you should do that, that's not really criticizing. That's trying to get someone to get better. But Jeremiah, all he did all day long was deal with these people that had stiffened their necks and were so proud and just forgot about where they came from. And in the 15th verse, it gets to him. This whole chapter, you can read it for yourself, but it gets to him. And he's just dealing with it over and over again. And it's just, he doesn't even want to live anymore. Have you ever felt that way? Like, well, I don't even want to do this anymore. I mean, I'm just being real. Verse 15. He says, and this is what happens. A lot of times we end up blaming who? We end up blaming God for some reason. The Bible says, in the 15th verse, this is Jeremiah talking. He had filled me with bitterness and had made me drunken with wormwood. Now, wormwood is considered by many to be a poisonous, like radiation poison. It's so bad, it's just, you don't live after you ingest this, or in Hebrew it talks about a venom, like from a snake venom, you know, so it's very poisonous. It's not to be played around with. Drunk with wormwood. Now, who's getting drunk with wormwood? You're getting high off of poison. Anyway, that's what he said. He had made me drunken with wormwood, and he had broken my teeth with rabbit stones, and he had covered me with ashes, and thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. Do you understand? Things can go so bad in your life where you can forget what prosperity even feels like or looks like. And you can get bitter from it. You can turn ugly from it. It's not good sometimes. Some people recover well, and some just hold on to it, and it just begins to eat at them. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering my affliction and my misery, and the wormwood again, and the gall. It's just poisonous. I remember where I was when I was sitting in that bedroom and I had nothing, and she would deny, my stepmother would deny my father from doing things for me. He was denied to come to my own graduation. Can you imagine that? He couldn't come to my graduation, and she would say things bad about my mom, who I loved dearly. She would say bad things. You can imagine what she would say. And, you know, the fact that she dealt with me in such a way, and it was always not in his presence, so it was hard for him to understand what I might have been saying. Hey, she don't like me that much, blah, blah, blah. It's not as good as you think. When you're gone, she whips on me. She does things, all right? But I remember my misery, like Jeremiah, I remember my affliction and my misery and the wormwood. And my soul had them still in remembrance, and it's humbled in me. It's humbled in me. You have gone through some things that say, Lord, have mercy. How did I make it through that? How did I do that? You know, how did I go through that and survive? Well, it was God that was helping you the whole time. No matter what we go through, just understand that he loves you. That's why I don't need a there this morning about that, my childhood, because I know God has taken my heart and healed it. And that's the thing, heal the broken heart. He can heal it. And then Jeremiah, after saying all of these things, and this is what you and I have to go through sometimes, and we have to remember, verse 21, and this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassion fail not. It is the only reason you and I are here today is because we're mercy's children. God has been so good to us. We don't have to be bitter and ugly to anybody. I know what I've been through, but I ain't mad at you. What's done is done. I ain't mad at you. What's done is done. I'm finished with it. Let's move on. God has taken this crooked thing and made it straight. The Lord is my portion. When you have hope, when you have God, you have hope. When you have Him, you don't need all of these other things. It is designed that you run to Him with your burdens. It is designed that you lean on God. The songwriter said, learning to lean on Jesus. That's who I'm leaning on today. I don't need a Dr. Phil in my life. I need Jesus to hear all of my problems. Only Jesus understands all of your problems. Only Jesus, like I wish my father would have saw some of what I went through, but my heavenly father saw all of what I've been through. It was not a problem. My God knew what I was going through. He didn't put more on me than I could handle. Obviously, I could handle what I went through. No need to be bitter toward anybody. But the Bible says, follow peace with all men. All men. And I'm going to tell you, here's a secret. If you want to know if you can follow peace with all men, those that love you, can they call you anytime? Or when they call you, you think about not taking the call? That, you got some bitterness. You got some bitterness toward the situation. If my stepmother were alive and in her right mind, if she called, hello, how you doing? You know, I was good after I got saved. I was good. I treated her. I took care of her. I was good. Her and my father moved up. My wife and I, we took care of her. It was not a problem.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
23. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seek him. And then it says here, it is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I don't know about you, but God has just been so good in our lives that sometimes we just need to just kind of not say so much, but sit quietly and just wait on the Lord. Lord is not, he will repay any situation that you can think of. He's going to fight your battles. He will repay. God is a just God. You're not going through anything that God hasn't permitted, as Elder Tinsley was saying, or Elder Camp last week saying, the hedge, he allows the devil to go but so far, and then he says, enough. That's all my child can take. That's all he can take. I don't need him getting any more. You go to this point and no further. That's the Lord. He's all powerful. God is so wonderful. Turn with me to Luke if you don't mind. Luke chapter 4. Verse 17. I'm talking about a broken heart. I'm talking about disappointment. I'm talking about various different things in our lives that, you know, some have been let down by leadership, churches. It doesn't matter. Some have been let down by relatives, by co-workers. Some have been passed over on their jobs. All of the hurt, all of what you go through, the Bible says we have not a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. He feels what we go through. He understands what we go through. He understands our pain. He knows our desires. But in the process, we have to be patient and not jump so far ahead of what God is doing. Just sit back and say, okay, well, I need to ride this one out. I don't need to be saying stuff right now. I just need to ride it out. It's bad. I don't want to create a situation worse than the one I have. Sometimes we take matters in our own hands, and it's not good. Let the Lord fight our battles. Let God will fight your battle and then come and heal your broken heart. And I say heal your broken heart because that's the whole point, is God has to heal a broken heart. Time, I don't care what the world says. Time does absolutely nothing to heal a broken heart. All time does is make you think about other things. But I'm telling you, you yourself, think about the thing that hurt you in your life, the thing, the person that might have hurt you in your life. Go back to that situation and dwell on it a little while, and I guarantee you, in a matter of minutes, you'll be reliving that situation, and you'll be in tears in moments. Time does nothing but get you going away from that situation. But it's God that can take that and heal it, and it's done. I ain't mad at you. What's done is done. I ain't mad at you. What's done is done. When that woman touched God, when she came and she touched, he said, who touched? And the woman feared. She feared knowing what she had done and knowing that her body had been changed. She feared. And when he looked her in the eye, I just could imagine, it said, daughter, go. Your situation is finished. But in my mind, he said, I ain't mad at you. What's done is done. You've got this blessing. It's over. Your faith did this. How could I be mad at your faith? You did something that nobody else here did. And today you have to want this. You have to say, Lord, heal my broken heart. Take this broken heart. Whatever the situation, I don't care if it's 26 years old, 29 years old. It doesn't matter. It was, you were alone. You felt messed up. You felt like no one cared about you. But I'm here to tell you that God cared about you. But you need to get to the master. You need to open up yourself and say, it's me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. I'm not afraid. I can look you in the eyes and say, I'm the one that touched you. The woman said, if I may touch just the hem, then you understand people are touching them on the back. People are hitting them on the head. But she said, if I can just get to the hem of his garment, that's all I need. Just let me get to the hem. What's the hem? It's just a thread. It's nothing. But my faith tells me if I can just touch it, if I can reach out and grab it, I know I'll be healed of my infirmity. If he heals her in a matter of seconds, he can do it for you and me. He's able to take the crooked thing and make it straight. God is able to heal. So many are touching him this afternoon. Many are reaching out and grabbing and calling him. But it's you and me. We can touch the hem of his garment and we will be made whole. We will be healed of that broken heart, that disappointment, that abuse that we went through. God knew all about it, but he needs you to come after him. He needs you to want it. I'm desperate for him today. I know many are here. Many want it, but I want it more than all of them. I gotta touch him. I just need to touch him. God is just real. That's how real he is to me. That's how real he is to me. He can wipe every tear from your eye. God is so good. Hallelujah. Jesus is real, and he is the answer for all of our burdens, all of our problems, all of our broken hearts together. He can heal. We don't need to get bitter toward anybody. We don't need it springing up at points where it should be good days. Someone comes to you about a good thing, and you say, that ain't good. Well, what do you think? That's not good. Because that thing is springing up in you. And remember, the Bible says, many are defiled by that thing. Many, it spring up and it defiled many. You succumb to your past, your problems. If God healed you, if God cleaned you, why do you go back and let that thing spring up? Why do you let it allow it to spring up? It should be a prayer of ours. Rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. Those sad thoughts even I had toward my stepmother, rebuke it in Jesus' name. I have to forgive. I have to, if she called me, if she was able to call me today, I would not be sending it to voicemail. I would take the call. All right. Amen. I'm not that hurt because God took my broken heart and healed it. Yes, amen. And this is something that, you know, in church, we pretend like we don't have hurts. You know? I mean, I do it too. We all pretend like we don't hurt. But we're the most hurt people in the world. The reason we came to God because the world was hurting us so bad. And then that's the problem. They hurt us so bad. And then we come in church and then sometimes in church we get hurt. And then you know what? Sometimes when we're done, many be defiled. And we're done with church. But it's not like Jeremiah. It's not God's fault. It's not. And then he said, no, the reason I'm here is because he allowed me to be here. Luke chapter 4, verse 17. And as I begin to close here, Luke chapter 4, 17, and this is our Savior. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now this comes from Isaiah 61. Just so happened he goes in a service on the Sabbath, and he goes in and they say, hey, you want to do scripture reading? Sure, I'll do scripture reading. He walks up, finds the thing, and then so happens, by mistake, right? He turns to the place that is talking about himself. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to them that are bruised. That's you and me, brothers. To preach the acceptable year unto the Lord. Now, unlike Isaiah, it goes a little further here. Because now, this is the master reading it. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all of them followed him. They followed him to a seat. The eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fast on him. And they began to, and he began to say unto them, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. You have a God that cares about your broken heart. He came that he might heal your broken heart. Many messages go forth. But God is able to do all those things for all of us in here, all over the world at the same time. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And we all stand at this time. Hallelujah. Ministers and elders.